Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. A lot of fun stuff lined up for you in the hour. We're going to get into some entertainment news in a little bit. A little after that, we're going to talk about National State Fair food. That should be fun. Looking forward to all of that. But it's a 9 o'clock hour on a Monday. You know what that means, everybody.
Tell me something good.
Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. This segment within a segment usually covers all things kitchen. We talk about food or kitchen gadgets. Someday we'll get to appliances. But today we're talking fluff.
What? No.
Like reality TV kind of fluff?
Nope. Actual fluff. Mm. The marshmallow kind. Because I can't take any more hard news today.
Agreed.
That's okay. That's
agreed.
All right.
Very
let's
agreed.
Take to something fun and fluffy.
Yeah, yes. Something soft.
Yeah.
So instead, we're going to talk about marshmallow fluff. Fluffer nutter sandwiches and just fluffy stuff in general. Did you know that marshmallow fluff has a history in radio?
Mm. Oh, I did not know that.
Hey. I learned a little of this back in the day from my old co-host, Carl, but yeah, I've heard a little bit about this one. This
very
is pretty
cool.
Interesting, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. So, but before we can get to the fluff, we have to start with the marshmallow itself.
Ah, yes. The herb native to parts of Europe, North Africa, and Asia. The history of using the marshmallow root goes back as early as 2000 BEC to ancient Egypt.
My people. You know, my great many, many, many greats. Aunt Nippy always made this amazing dessert with marshmallows for family gatherings. I'm not sure I would eat marshmallows with barley, but that what doesn't kill you, you know, makes you stronger, I guess.
Really?
Nope. No, I totally made that up. Ancient Egyptians actually used the marshmallow plant to make medicines. The sap was extracted from the root by boiling. The resulting mixture was then mixed with honey and used to soothe coughs and sore throats.
Mm.
They may have even used marshmallow root medicine to soothe irritated skin and digestive tracts.
Interesting.
Huh. So how did a plant that was used as a medicine become the marshmallow candy treat we all know and love today?
According to Wikipedia, the marshmallow plant made its way to France in the early to mid-19th century. Owners of small candy stores would whip the sap from mallow root into a fluffy candy mold. They made a spongy soft dessert by mixing the fluff with sugar and egg whites.
You see, marshmallow root contains mucilage, which is a gelatinous substance that will act as a natural thickener when it's extracted from the plant. The problem was, it was a lot of work to find and harvest enough marshmallow roots to keep up with demand. By the early 20th century, candy makers replaced mallow root with gelatin to create a stable form of the marshmallow we all know and love today.
So marshmallows don't contain the marshmallow plant anymore.
Nope, just gelatin.
Bummer. I thought I was going to be able to justify eating marshmallows as a medicine next time I got a cold.
Wishful thinking. Now they're just made with sugar, water, gelatin, and air.
Air?
Yes. Actually, they are 50% air. That's what makes the unique mouthfeel of marshmallows.
Shouldn't they be 50% cheaper then? I mean,
you would think so. I mean, like you'd pay for all the packaging.
Couldn't help it.
So now, let's move on to the real star of today's show, marshmallow fluff.
Hmm. You know, that wasn't its original name, right? It originally appeared on shelves under the name marshmallow cream. According to Eater.com, the earliest reference to the stuff appeared in an 1896 cookbook from American culinary guru Fanny Farmer. The cookbook was called the Boston Cooking School Cookbook. It contained a recipe for marshmallow paste.
That's right. Fanny suggested melting down marshmallows as a shortcut for making frosting and candies. Boston was known as one of our country's candy centers. By 1910, there were numerous companies in the area producing marshmallow cream.
Did you know that the first commercial shelf-stable marshmallow spread made by the great-great-grandchildren of Paul Revere?
Really?
I did not know that.
No, I didn't know that. That's fascinating.
That's crazy.
From silversmith to marshmallow maker.
I'm not even kidding. It was developed around 1913 by a brother and sister team, Amory and Emma Curtis. They called it Snowflake Marshmallow Cream.
But the person who created the recipe for marshmallow fluff was Archibald Query, in 1917 in Somerville, Massachusetts. According to MarshmallowFluff.com, Query made the fluff in his kitchen and sold it door to door. Wartime shortages forced him to close down, and by the time the war was over, Query wasn't interested in restarting his business. But he sold his formula to two World War I veterans named H. Allen Durkee and Fred L. Mower.
Durkee and Mower pooled their money and paid Archibald Query $500 for the formula. They started off calling their product Toot Sweet Marshmallow Fluff, but Toot Sweet didn't stay on the label for long. According to a recipe found in the company's scrapbooks, they sold the fluff by the gallon in 1920. Wow. The price? $1 per gallon. They peddled their product door-to-door, earning a reputation among local housewives that eventually placed fluff onto local grocers' shelves.
As a side note, Durkee and Mower sounds like the worst law firm ever.
Doesn't it? I was right there with you, man. Totally with you there.
I don't know why. By 1927, they were advertising prominently in Boston newspapers. In 1929, they moved to a factory on Brookline Street in East Lynn and tripled their floor space. They hired more employees and merged with the Cream of Chocolates Company, and the Durkee Mower entered the hot chocolate business.
Durkee Mower started advertising on the radio in 1930. They were actually pioneers in radio advertising. Hmm. They sponsored the weekly Fluffernuts radio show on the Yankee Radio Network. I love that name,
it's Fluffernuts.
So the 15-minute show aired on Sunday evenings just before Jack Benny. It included live music and comedy skits. The show continued through the late 1940s and served as a stepping stone to national recognition for a number of talented performers. Can you play a bit of their jingle for us, James?
You know it.
For something delicious, you know well enough, you will get your wishes with marshmallow fluff. And each and every serving of this tempting fluff will bring praise to serving of marshmallow fluff.
Tune in next week at the same time for more Flufferette Melodies. Your announcer is Hal Miller. This is the Yankee Network.
Oh, is that charming?
Isn't that great?
Yes. Wow. The Yankee Network. What was that? No, I'm rabbit hole time. I got to figure out what that was.
It's so cool. Nice hunting, Melissa.
Yeah, it was
nice
very job. Cool.
Oh, it was right on the website.
That's
I didn't
awesome.
Have to hunt. It was right there.
Nice.
That's very cool. There is something so charming to me about old radio ads. I
love
it. It
sounds like
them.
A record player. It's got you know, crackly sound. It's really cool.
I'm not kidding. I could listen to them for hours. Like old radio ads. I don't know why, but there's something about them. It's more than nostalgia. There's just something very unique and cool about them.
Mm-hmm. They're very quaint.
And very well done.
Yeah.
You will never
the production level of those is amazing.
Yeah, you'll hear ones you may not like, but you'll never hear one that was not well acted, produced, written, and they tell a story. Mm-hmm. Like it's not in and out like it is nowadays. Yep. Hey, this is a dollar off. Buy it.
One quick side note, and I'm sorry to digress on this, but most of the shows back then were sponsored by one sponsor instead of having commercials like we do now. So then the whole show was formed around that one product. So they would do, like James said, they would have these really cool jingles, and of course they would have the integrated commercial where whoever the stars of the show would talk about the product and make jokes, you know, and that kind of stuff. So
it's really cool. It's really interesting.
We should bring that back.
yes.
Well, moving back to our story here, our story, or the Durkee Mower story, the company survived the Depression, doing so well, in fact, they purchased a two-story factory in 1934. But World War II caused supply shortages, and the existing sugar supply was rationed to the corporations that needed it. Durkee Mower wasn't willing to lower the quality of their products, so they were forced to cut production a lot.
During this period, the company's resources were used to promote the war effort in various ways. Part of the factory was converted to wrap war-critical electronic and optical parts in special waterproof packages. Ooh, that's cool. Some of their advertising helped promote Victory Gardens in cooperation with the Massachusetts State War Garden Committee.
The website goes on to say, with little fluff to sell, the Flufferettes show through its advertising support to the armed forces, particularly the Navy, the branch which Allen Durkee's two older sons served during the war's years.
The company expanded again in 1945, and when industrial sugar rationing ended in 1947, they were preparing for yet another expansion. They started by redesigning the product's package. They surveyed their customers and listened when housewives told them the best jar for fluff would be short enough to easily fit into the refrigerator for leftovers and have a wide enough opening to fit a tablespoon into. Fluff itself doesn't need to be refrigerated, but customers wanted to be able to reuse the jar, and the company listened. And the same basic jar is still in use today.
So this is
shocking.
And as much as it isn't, it shouldn't be shocking. It's one of those things, as far as I could tell, this may be the first example of a company truly going out of its way to listen to its, you know, its people that are buying its product, its customers, and actually doing something about it. Like, there's 100%. Some examples of surveys of, like, people going door to door to, hey, how would you like your milk prepared, or those things, but nothing where the company actually did something about it, where they changed their product.
And I love the fact that they wanted to be able to reuse the jar.
It's so cool.
Isn't that, it's fascinating when we look at companies like this, one that made basically one product. And they had, in order to survive, they had to make sure their customers were satisfied with that one product. And this is how you get that. You ask them questions. Hey, how can we make it better? That kind of thing. Very, very cool. The company expanded again in 1950, building a new factory to fill the new jars with the greatest efficiency. This was one of the most modern food manufacturing plants in the country. The new capping and filling machines increased the speed of production, and much of the line was automated.
But because the company's plans included increasing production, they could automate without laying off any employees.
Wow.
It's also worth noting that speed and efficiency came second to cleanliness and purity.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Whenever marshmallow fluff was exposed to air, the room was air conditioned or dehumidified or both. The walls and the floor were sanitary tile covered to facilitate the daily washdown that still takes the crew 1.5 hours to complete. No surprise.
And I love this part. Every conceivable measure is taken to protect the purity of marshmallow fluff. Because of the sanitary environment and practices, it is not necessary to refrigerate marshmallow fluff, even though it still contains no preservatives of any kind.
Amazing.
That really is.
Amazing.
That's incredible. Wow. That's incredible.
And it's made with just four ingredients.
Yeah.
I thought that was the most impressive part. That I don't know, it still may be, but some of these other things you brought up today, Melissa, are right there with it.
It is. It's remarkable. This could be the greatest company ever. Considering all that they did, they were planned ahead. They treated their employees good. You know, they made sure that everything was right and good, and there wasn't any. Yeah, wow, it's amazing.
There's plenty of topics you've brought to us where I look at something completely differently. Now there isn't much where I can say, wow, I have a new respect for this company. I have a new appreciation for this company.
And I actually want to go out and buy some marshmallow fluff.
Exactly, it really does. And I'm not even a marshmallow guy.
Like, me neither.
Other than s'mores, I really don't eat marshmallows, but it kind of makes me want to eat them more.
Well, I have to tell you, when I started this segment, I was a bit wrung out. There is so much negativity happening, and I was just looking, honestly, for fluff. Who knew I would find this incredible history of a company created by World War I veterans that survived World War II and is still profitable today? A quick internet search proved that this is still a family-owned business run by John Durkee, the son of H. Allen Durkee. The factory in Massachusetts is still running strong with much of the original equipment from the 1960s.
Wow.
They're an international company, but they don't sell it everywhere. It says on their website that if you can't find fluff locally, you can order it directly from their factory.
That's incredible.
The other really fascinating is that they haven't sold out to a large food manufacturing conglomerate. They kept it in the family and have kept it the same way for so long.
Good point.
They're very secretive. Like the one interview that I could find where somebody was allowed to come into the factory. And he pulled out his phone to start taking pictures, and John was like, no pictures in here. Sorry.
Wow.
I don't blame him. Hold up.
They keep their recipe private. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's only four ingredients, but they're not sharing.
But the process is the secret, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a little similar to KFC with their recipe and everything. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, thank you for joining us today for another segment of The Kitchen's Open.
Wait. You can't end the segment yet. You didn't tell us what a fluffernutter sandwich is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Like the name implies, it has marshmallow fluff as an ingredient and also peanut butter.
Of course. Fluffernutter makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was hugely popular in Massachusetts. No surprise. And it was even served in schools.
Oh, jeez.
In fact, according to Wikipedia, in 2006, a Massachusetts state senator proposed legislation restricting the serving of Fluffernutter sandwiches in public schools after he learned his son was served the sandwich daily at his elementary school in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Okay. I think daily is too much, but I think they should still keep it in there for every now and then.
Yeah. That's correct. Senator Jarrett Berrios drafted an amendment to the junk food bill, which would limit Fluffernutters to once a week. The proposal was criticized as trivial and overly intuitive intrusive legislation. State Representative Catherine Ann Reinstein supported legislation that would make the Fluffernutter the official state sandwich. That measure also failed.
All right, can we end this segment now?
No, I suppose. But first, it must be mentioned that a Fluffernutter sandwich is even better with bacon.
Oh, everything, everything.
I don't think I have ever had a Fluffernutter sandwich in my life.
Mm-hmm. But now
they can add bacon to it. Oh, I might have to.
They also grill them. Imagine.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Peanut butter and marshmallow sandwich with bacon.
Oh my God.
I want to eat this.
I was on the fence going into this last half of the segment. You mentioned bacon. I'm listening. You mentioned grilling it. Yes. Yes.
He's going to try it.
All in. Woo. All in.
All right.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Let's wrap it up, boys.
If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of The Kitchen's Open, we'd love to talk to you about your business during the 9 o'clock hour every morning.
Just call Pam in our front office at 715-424-1300. And she'll put you in touch with our head of sales, Ashley.
That number again, 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Oh, that was fun.
It's a classic, Melissa. That's
probably
an instant classic.
One of the most informative ones you've ever had.
Yeah.
Because you never knew that much about fluff.
Absolutely not.
I hope this inspires others out there, too, because you never know where that single little thing can lead you down that rabbit hole and what you could find and the history that you can take pride in from. That's American history.
Stories. Just these great stories out there. Yep.
So cool. All from fluff. It's pretty cool. Nice work, Melissa.
Thanks, boys.
We'll have another segment of The Kitchen's Open for you next week right here in the 9 o'clock hour on the morning show at WFHR.
For something delicious, you know well enough, you will get your wishes with marshmallow fluff.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic week out there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to dive into National State Fair food a little bit later.
Does it involve marshmallow fluff?
We will find out. But we had a little bit of entertainment news to take you to our news break. Nicolas Cage has made over 100 movies, but there's one he wants you to see more than any other, and it's possible you haven't even heard of it. It's called Pig. It came out in 2021, and it's about a former chef who goes looking for the thieves who stole his truffle pig. It's very good. It's very good. Nicolas Cage, so 2021 is not that long ago.
No.
But in Nick Cage years, it's like 10 years ago.
Eternity.
In part because Nicolas Cage does a movie a month. Like, he's been working his tail off. Mm-hmm. Now, this has been going on with him for a while. At first, it started because many heard out there, he was having some trouble with the tax.
He had some financial issues.
Yeah. And so, that's what an actor can, that's the only way an actor can make money is commercials or movies. Nicolas Cage was actually not able to get commercial work. So he started doing B movies and everything. Mm-hmm. And this script comes across Pig, and it's a B movie about a former chef who's hunting down, looking for revenge on his pig. What's the bigness there? But Nicolas Cage, like he does with a lot of roles, saw an opening and saw something in that character that not many other actors, if any other actor, would have seen, and was able to really bring the whole Nick Cage, energy to this role. And it's really good, you guys. Like, he's incredible.
That's really cool.
I'm not saying the movie's great, but his performance is beautiful. It's wow. It's a great performance.
Looking at like the pictures from the film, he's not even very recognizable.
No.
I mean, he's all craggy with a big old beard and long hair, and it doesn't really even look like Nicolas Cage.
So up until this point in 2021, he has done a lot of these B movies and has not really gotten a lot of notoriety, or it's just, oh, there's Nick Cage, another Nick Cage
doing
movie
his
or
thing,
whatever.
Right, yeah.
But this movie comes out, and critics all of a sudden like, whoa, what's this? Oh my gosh, is this a Coppola acting again? Is this Nicolas Cage giving us the Nick Cage that we know has won Oscar and won an Oscar and been nominated for movies and all this? And this movie propels him to where he is right now, where he's getting in mainstream movies again. He's acting along Pedro Pascal, one of the biggest actors in the world, and Nicolas Cage's career is back. And it didn't come back because of who he's dating. It didn't come back because he did something crazy and got in the paparazzi's eyes or anything like that. It came back because he worked for it and he earned it.
Sure did.
And it's so cool to see.
You got to give him credit.
How many actors bounce back like this?
Right.
Like, I think Travolta might be up there a little bit, you know, where he was the biggest name for a while there, goes away, comes back and does a Look Who's Talking and kind of gets his name back there. Pulp Fiction brings him back after that.
Yep.
And, you know, and then he's kind of faded away for a while.
And he does Battlefield Earth.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's something that I think that while very few people can relate to an actor's life or anything, I think all of us can relate to, hey, we've been counted out and look what we were able to do when we were counted out.
I have to read you the description from Rotten Tomatoes. Like the animal itself, Pig defies the hogwash of expectations with a beautiful odyssey of loss and love.
Nicely, right?
Nice. Actually, that's good. That's not a bad synopsis.
Nicholas says, quote, "It's something that I think people can get something out of, because tragedy is going to hit all of us at some point. It's just a matter of when." Mm. It's also a movie that to me is like a folk song. It's a very quiet, gentle movie, which is the polar opposite. People thinking I'm crazy.
Boy, he's it's also described as a thriller.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. It's an intense movie in some ways. In other ways, it's a very calm, like you said, kind of folk song.
I am a very big fan of what you would call a quiet movies, you know, that just don't, that just kind of have a certain feel to them. And a lot of people would find boring. Yeah, kind of thing. One of the, I'm digressing a lot today. one of the best movies I've ever seen is a German film called Schulze Gets the Blues. And it's one, there's very little dialogue, of course it's in German, but it's about this forced to retire. He had worked in a factory, but they've said, no, you're done now, trying to find out what to do. He plays the accordion, and one night over the radio, over international radio, he hears Zydeco. And it totally changes his outlook on life and music and everything. It's a very cool movie, but it's very quiet. And for some people, it's very slow moving. So I don't know if you like it, but that's the kind of movie. I like those kinds of movies, and I think that's really neat.
One thing that is missing from all media, all entertainment right now, whether we're talking music, TV shows, movies, anything of the above, is the idea of giving, and I'll include stage very much with this as well, with a lot, especially with a lot of the way things are written nowadays. The idea of, you know, two people sitting in a room and they're just sitting there. They're just sitting there. And they may have a hey, did you check the news today? Yeah. Anything? No. And some quiet. People want more than ever real. They want real, whether it's a radio station, a TV show, or a movie. We got this. Most people that were smart enough got this with GoldenEye when all of a sudden James Bond was taking a punch. And way up until then, we never saw James Bond's hair messed up, let alone him taking a punch.
Right.
But this is what audiences want now. They don't want superheroes that are perfect. They want people who they are relatable. They want relatability. Yet we continue to move farther and farther away from that in entertainment. Oh, I got to make every scene explosive. Oh, I got to make every scene sexy. Oh, I got to make everything. Life ain't like that. Life has pauses. Life has quiet moments. Theater gets this, but theater has gotten away from it.
Yeah.
We need to go back to this more if you want people to come and see things.
Right.
It may seem like a simple solution, but it is one of the ways that you get people to care about new entertainment more, is by having more reality in there. And part of reality is a pause, mm-hmm. a quietness, a pace, a tone. Right. Quit trying to make everything so quick and hit, and everything's got to be boom, 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 boom.
And I'm going to piggyback on that, James, real quick, because I don't think what we're discussing here means, you know, it has to be realistic and like, you know, it has to be exactly the way life is kind of thing. No, you can do a science fiction film mm-hmm. and it feels realistic.
Yeah.
Because either the characters are well developed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're well developed characters. They touch on things that are concerning to us right now. It doesn't matter like the style or anything like that, mm-hmm. but there's got to mm-hmm. be something there. There's got to be something you can hang your hat on, grip on it as real. And then I think you're right. People will respond.
Not everybody's going to lose their truffle pig. But yeah, we're all going to lose something or someone throughout our lifetimes.
New on your small screen tonight, the sixth season finale of All American. The Bachelorette is also new at 7 o'clock on ABC. And the 2024 Home Run Derby is on at 7 on ESPN.
Woo!
The President Biden exclusive is on at 8 on NBC. The 2024 American Decides Republican Convention, 9 on CBS. And the Republican National Convention, Your Voice, Your Vote, 9 o'clock on ABC. Again, keep in mind, Civic Media is also your home for the Republican National Convention. We'll be covering that back-to-back all week long right here on our Civic Media radio stations.
Yep.
Let's take a call before we go to break. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, I have a movie that was one of my very favorites, and you probably, none of you, I'm sure none of you have ever heard of. It's called The Rainbow Tribe. Hmm. David James Elliott is the star, and also Grayson Russell, the kid from Diary of a Kid, Olympic Kid. But like I said, it's one of my very favorite. And it's all kids. It's all kids.
My sister actually suggested this movie to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She loves this movie. Yeah, that's wild. I've got a bookmark of lists of movies and books that my sister has given me, and this is on there. I'll have to check this out.
Wow. That's very cool.
Yeah, I play it all every couple months and just watch it again. Yeah, I totally enjoy it. These are really cool kids.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it looks great. It came out in 2008. Looks like a great movie. Definitely, and a great suggestion, sir.
Yeah,
thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
The one kid is actually deaf in the movie, and he doesn't speak at all. So,
I see. Yeah. Okay, yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. Yep,
yeah, it looks great, and a great team behind it too, of writers and directors and everything. Well, I'll definitely check that one out.
Cool.
We appreciate you, sir. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great suggestion right there. We'll come back and we're going to talk a little local theater. We'll also get into our favorite state fair foods. All that coming up on the morning show.
On a stick.
WFHR.
Deep fried.
On a stick. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great one out there. Wanted to talk a little local theater with everyone and remind you that the Tin Woman has still got another performance coming up.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a whole weekend yet.
Yeah. Join them starting on Friday, the 21st. The 19th. Yep. I'm sorry. The 19th. And then they'll have shows on the 20th and 21st. Mm-hmm. Get your tickets and find out more at PittsvilleAct.org, PittsvilleAct.org, and let's help keep theater alive in this state and especially here in Central Wisconsin.
All these communities, mm-hmm. it's so important to have these local theaters.
Heard from a good friend of mine up north recently over the weekend, and we were talking about how up north they don't have as much theater that mm-hmm. we do here in Central Wisconsin. This person, him and his wife, were just blown away by every week I hear you guys talking about another theater company near you. Mm-hmm. And you're right. And I was telling them, because we support the theater companies in this area. Mm-hmm. We need to keep doing that, everybody. And you can support them by doing some really, really heavy lifting, taking in a show. That's it.
You know, the sacrifice that you have to make, man, is just...
You're going to have to sit there in that studio, in that auditorium.
Yep, and enjoy, you know,
some
show.
Local great entertainment.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. It's what we ask. And also, you know, all these businesses and all these places we talk about mm-hmm. have social media accounts.
Yep.
You know, like their pages and share them on your pages.
Mm-hmm.
It's another great way that you can help local theater. And certainly, maybe the best way that you can help local theater... Join the show.
Sure.
Be a part of the
show.
On
stage, backstage, yeah. Direct, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Just have fun. Enjoy this kind of, there's nothing like it. I mean, we talk about it a lot, I know, on these airwaves, but it's mm-hmm. one of those things, there's just nothing like local theater, being a part of it in any capacity. It's fun, it's fulfilling, it's just enjoyable.
Young and old, it doesn't matter. You can be a part of things. Mm-hmm. Encourage you to find out more about Pittsville's era beautiful theater, the Pact, at pittsvilleact.org. And of course, as I mentioned, young and old, we're looking for young to audition. I was all gunning for this. I thought, this is a great opportunity to work with Stephanie before Arsenic.
And get the foot in the door.
Show her what I got and everything, you know, and stuff. So I was all planning for the auditions, and I see it's a kids' show.
Oh.
So go ahead.
You cannot pass for 18 anymore, man.
No.
You cannot.
No.
That ship sailed a long time ago.
I'm not sure I could at 18. WRCT's auditions for Hopo's production of It's a Madhouse start tonight.
That's right.
Only
tonight.
Yes, right. I'm so used to them doing two nights. I'm so sorry.
No.
It is
Hopo
only tonight.
Hopo is fast.
Yeah.
They do things in a real fast tempo because mm-hmm. the show is only 3 weeks away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We encourage you to go to wrctheater.org, and there's a form you can fill out to speed things up for
Which
you and your kids.
Which is very cool. This is something they started to do, and it's really nice, easy-to-follow form. Just fill it in and do it online.
I like it because then I can just sit there and start to focus on that stage. bring the kids down. Come one, come all. Stephanie always finds a place for these kids. Mm-hmm. Get on down there and go. This is what theater is all about.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Is these shows.
And this sounds like a fun show.
It does.
Get the kids ready. Bring them on down. Whether they've been in 100 shows or never been in the show before, you never know mm-hmm. what this might spark in kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
we certainly know that this is a great way to support our youth and a great way to invest in the future.
Yep, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Our caller called up earlier talking about the kids in the cast of that movie that he really mm-hmm. enjoyed and everything. I guarantee you that those kids had supportive communities.
Absolutely.
They watched their grade school shows or things like that that helped propel them to where they are. Now, maybe the kids that you see in It's a Madhouse, maybe they'll go on to do things like that. Maybe they won't. But whatever they go on to do, they could use some confidence with it. They could use some people skills, some feeling.
Public speaking. Even.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I my last class I had that I did for Second City had a equal amount of kids that wanted to be the next, you know, John Belushi or Chris Farley and everything, as much as we had attorneys and doctors or nurses, I should say, had two nurses in that class that just wanted to feel better at public speaking because mm-hmm. they didn't have a lot of experience with it growing up. And all those people grew up in like the 90s and early aughts.
Mm-hmm.
Kids nowadays, we worry about that more than ever. Here is a great way to get your kids out there and doing stuff a little bit. Maybe they'll have one line in the show. Maybe they'll have 100. Who cares? They're going to be involved in meeting new kids and getting out there and experiencing new experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Find out more at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org, and get ready for It's a Madhouse auditions.
It's a Madhouse.
Tonight from 5 to 7, production dates will be August 3rd and 4th. They'll have a 7 o'clock show on the 3rd, 2 o'clock matinee on the 4th. We thank you for supporting local, everybody.
Mm-hmm. And as Melissa pointed out in her news broadcast, man, what a weekend for Newsies Jr.
I did want to give a shout out to Newsies Jr.
Very cool. Yeah. I'm glad those kids did a great job.
Congratulations mm-hmm. to everybody involved with that production.
Mm-hmm.
Really nicely done. Really well done. Let's go ahead and talk state fair food.
Right.
So state fairs are definitely not that old. I've been around for a long time. The first U.S. state fair was held in Syracuse, New York in 1841, 183 years ago.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Nice.
According to a recent poll, the number one reason Americans go to state fairs is the food.
Mm-hmm.
81% of people said that that's a draw more than spending time with family and friends, entertainment and music, rides, and the animals.
The whole reason we have them. No.
But some states are crazier about the food than others. A survey found Vermont loves state fair food the most.
Really?
Ohio is second, followed by South Dakota, West Virginia, Washington, Arkansas, North Dakota, Tennessee, Florida, and Iowa.
Mm.
Utah is the state that's the least interested in fair food. Hawaii is also down on it, and other states that are okay passing on that food are Montana, Rhode Island, Maine, Delaware, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Michigan.
Hmm. All right.
Okay. I would say Hawaii because their food is always amazing.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I kind of like these ones that don't necessarily have any rhyme or reason. They're just kind of all over the place, you know?
I love the fact that the state that has the least amount of laugh emojis is also the one that likes state fair food the most.
Yeah.
What can we glean about Vermont from that?
Yeah, right. Illinois finished 13th on the list, Wisconsin 18th.
Okay.
So somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Not bad.
That's how we feel about our fair food. I actually found that to be surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I thought overwhelmingly Wisconsin would be in the top 10 as far as lovers of fair food.
I'm with you on that one. I think you're right. I'm a little surprised myself.
Yeah, me too.
I think in certain parts of the state, it is probably more loved than others.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at our northern or southern parts of the state, they tend to be a bit different than most where we go here in the center of the state.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how much that plays into it or not. But
didn't ask the right people.
I think, you know, that's how many times. I wonder how many times these surveys, it comes down to that, you know?
So here's...
Like, are they just looking for... How many people are Googling, what's at the state fair this
Oh, that's this probably true. Yeah. So my question to you and the audience, the listening audience out there, what's the most... what's the weirdest thing you've had at a state fair?
Oh.
So I don't know, James, not an adventurous eater, so I don't know what you've got there. But I have to say, for me, was alligator on a stick.
Oh, whoa.
At the Minnesota State Fair many years ago,
I'd try that. I would try that.
It was pretty good. It was not bad.
That's a good one.
I've never had that at a fair. I had it when I was in Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah. Decades
like ago. They like their gators down there.
Yeah. Mine is boring. Fried pickles. I only had enough money for a fried pickle or an elephant ear. And the girl I was there with was like, you got to try these. And of course, at that age, I'm not going to say no to, you know, of course I'm going to try that. And I tried it, and it was, I did some great acting. Great acting.
Some of the best you've ever done.
Pickle?
It wasn't my thing.
Was it spicy?
It had a little bit of spice to it.
Because a lot of fried pickles have a little spice to them.
I don't like my pickles that way. I didn't like that.
I think that would be good.
Mm. I do want to try all of the things that they deep fry, though. Like anything deep fried, I will try. I just haven't had a chance to yet.
Butter.
And something that's showing up more often on like pub menus is deep fried cauliflower. And if you've never had it, it's amazing.
Yeah, I would try it.
That is a huge craze right now, especially out in the West Coast. They love it out there.
Interesting.
Let's find out what you love. Good morning. You're on the show.
Well, I'm surprised Texas wasn't on that list.
Yeah.
Gracious, they did a big Netflix thing on it or Hulu thing on it or whatever for a Texas State Fair competition for vendors or whatever it was.
Interesting. Surprising. Okay.
I was really surprised that they didn't that make the list, you know.
Yeah, very.
Nothing beats a carnival or state fair food. I mean, I've been down to state fair down in Milwaukee a few times. If you walk out of that place hungry, you did it wrong.
You
did it wrong, or you're poor.
One or the other.
Well, then you're not going to state fair because it's expensive.
It is. Sadly, which doesn't make any sense to me. Why would there be something to state fair anyway?
No. Do you have a go-to food at a fair, Kev?
You have to do the elephant ears. I mean, that's just. That's a given. I mean, the sad thing is. Hate to say this, but it's been a while since I've been to Marshfield. But there used to be a stand there, and I'm sure it probably still is there because it's very popular. They're called mouse ears. And basically, they're the same thing as an elephant ear, but they're smaller.
Nice.
You got three in a dish, you know, the powdered sugar and everything on it, and the cinnamon. It was just like eating an elephant ear, but it's more manageable to eat.
Easier to eat,
a little bit easier, that makes sense.
Well, until I lived in Wisconsin, I mean, the whole cream puff thing, that's very much a Wisconsin thing, because I'd never heard of that before.
And those are very good, but for me it's the mini donuts.
Oh yeah, the fresh made ones, or funnel cakes for that matter.
Donuts.
It's just powdered sugar, James.
If you get a chance to go to state fair, you do have to stop and get a cream puff. I mean, granted, you stand in line a little bit, but you have to get a cream puff. I mean, that's one of the things that when we do go down there, that's one of the first places I go next to the pork producers. I mean, Good food down there.
I'm pretty sure that you can't leave the state fair until you've had a cream puff. Like, I'm pretty sure
they force you to go back in. Yeah. Get back in there. Yeah. What? You haven't had one? Get back.
They take a look at your hands. Do you have any debris? No?
The cream on there. Right?
Yeah. You got to get back in there. Get back in there. We appreciate you, Kev. Have a great day out there.
I do have one more thing for your marshmallow puff fluff thing. For your fluffer nutter.
Yeah.
If there's the next thing closest to it, you have to slowly roast the marshmallow and use a Reese's peanut butter cup and then put it on a graham cracker.
The variation on the s'more, yes.
Oh, man, I want to try this. Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good, man.
Because you said that you had the peanut butter with the fluff. I mean, that's the next closest thing with the... You just got to add a little chocolate with it.
Yeah, it's like a fluffer nutter s'more.
Or bring the show full circle, everyone. Add all that stuff you were just saying. Add some banana.
Ah,
yes. Even better. Oh, I'm telling you, right there.
Yes. And the mosquitoes will show up.
It's a party for everybody.
You weren't invited. What are you doing here?
Safe travels out there, brother. Take care.
All right, you guys. Have a great day.
You too. Oh,
I love our listeners.
Best listeners in radio. We'll be back with more fun in the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Hoping you're having a great one out there, everybody. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Matt and Air on the Air coming up for you. Be sure to join Jane and Greg for their fantastic show. They're going to take good care of you all week long. A little bit later, you got the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4. Join Maggie as she continues her 100 days of Biden and continuing to tell you about different things that President Biden and his cabinet have accomplished in their term. She's doing a nice job.
Lots of RNC coverage, too.
And all of those people, I cannot wait to hear today. They're some of the only voices I want to hear today, if I'm being honest with everybody. I'm looking forward to those shows today. And, of course, they'll lead up to Midday Magazine, where in part one, Catherine Eckhart, Library Director with Art McMillan Memorial Library, going to join us. Looking forward to that.
Awesome.
And in part two, Peter and Lisa from Two Hearts Catering are going to join us to talk about their music benefit coming up for the Never Forgotten Honor Flight.
All right.
It's going to be some amazing food.
They are really amazing, Melissa. Buy local, support local, support our friends at Two Hearts. And, of course, Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight. Rafters are up in Michigan to take on Kalamazoo. That means early start times this early part of the week. Today, tomorrow, Wednesday, they're going to have a 5:20 start times. That means there will be no play makers today for y'all. We will be back on Friday, live and direct, taking your phone calls. Looking forward to it. Seth, I wanted to take a moment to talk about some local events in our area, and when we got time, we'll get into a good story. But you've got a big one for us right there.
Yep. Just a reminder that the summer food service program is still going on. Free meals are available for all children 18 years of age and under. They're just doing lunches at this point, everyone, going through August 16th. Two places where you can go. Then Mead Park near the Splash Pad on 14th Avenue South. That goes from 11:30 to 12:30. And also at Witter Park in the shelter outside of the Aquatic Center, 681 Chestnut Street, also from 11:30 to 12:30, again until August 16th. Both of those will be going through August 16th this summer. 18 years of age and under, all meals are free.
Keep that in mind, everybody. Mm-hmm. The Community Blood Center has their summer tour for all blood types. They're doing this tour.
Nice.
Wisconsin Rapids is one of our next stops tomorrow at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. They'll be taking donations from 10 to 3. You can schedule a life-saving donation by calling 1-800-280-4102. That's 1-800-280-4102. Appointments are appreciated. Again, this is held at the former East Junior High School cafeteria. Due to construction, park in the 6th Street parking lot and enter in the cafeteria fieldhouse door off of 6th Street.
Yes, indeed.
And keep in mind, this Friday, our friends over at McMillan will have a blood drive from 10 to 3 over at McMillan Library at 490 East Grand Avenue.
And that one's a Red Cross blood drive.
Right.
Yeah. Keep that in mind, everybody, and donate if you can. We greatly appreciate all you heroes out there donating. Our friends at the Wisconsin Rapid City Band got a show coming up. This Tuesday, they'll be performing at Robinson Park. Big thank you to Solaris and Engel Fellowship Lodge that are sponsoring that event. If inclement weather happens, they will be moving this to the Lincoln High School PAC Auditorium. Keep that in mind.
Looks like it should be okay tomorrow, though. Hope here's open.
You can join the band. You can find out more and certainly promote the band at wrcityband.org, wrcityband.org, and encourage you to do so, everybody. Mm-hmm. And I want to remind everyone that we are looking for school supplies, looking for your investment in the future. Stuff the School Bus Desk is a collaborative community initiative led by our United Way of Southwood and the Adams Counties to ensure every student has the supplies they need. If you are the parent or a guardian of a child in need, please make sure to sign up before August 1st. That date is getting closer and closer,
it's coming,
everybody.
It's coming.
And you can also donate items for this great event. I would encourage you to donate anytime you can, but specifically after August 1st, they're going to have a better idea of the supplies they have and the ones they need. Mm-hmm. So paying attention to the United Way, you can do that by going to uwswac.org or by calling 211. And, of course, listening to this radio station where we'll keep you up to date on everything United Way related.
You bet we will.
Keep it up, everybody. We appreciate everybody being in on this one. Patriotism doesn't stop on the 4th of July. An ice cream shop in Massachusetts called Eskimo King is offering free ice cream to kids who can recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hey.
Nice.
That's cool.
Which they all should, because it's said in every single one of
that's
our public
right.
schools.
Kids can choose a cone of vanilla or chocolate twist, and if they want, one with red, white, and blue sprinkles.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
That's pretty
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And six critically endangered sea turtles were released back into the waters of Massachusetts this past Wednesday after being saved and rehabbed by a team at the New England Aquarium. They included one loggerhead, one green, and four Kemp's Ridley sea turtles.
Nice.
All three are endangered species.
Yes, they are. Awesome.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Good news.
Good show today, you two.
You too, man.
Yeah, you too.
Have a great day out there. We'll be good to each other, and we'll talk to you sooner than later right here at